The thing is, he's able to deliver you right where you're at. And he has something better for you. And at your very best, you have not seen it as good as it can be with God. It's a happier place when we submit ourselves and we give ourselves and we commit ourselves completely. And while the devil fools us and tricks us, and we legitimately think that we'll give up something if we give ourselves over to God. We'll give up control, we'll give up a position, we'll give up. As for God, his way is perfect, and it's better for you. Before we get started, before we turn to any scripture, before we do anything else, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity, the privilege, the blessing to be in your house. Thank you for your people. Father, our privilege to fellowship, to worship, Father, to study and pray together. God, we know that you've placed us in one body with one head, Christ, and you've given us a unity of your Holy Spirit. Father, we ask and pray that we will experience fully, and I mean 100% as a group, not just partial participation, but that we will all experience the unity of the body because of the Holy Spirit bringing us together under our head, Jesus Christ. Father, we ask and pray this afternoon as we open the Word of God that it'll be clear, that it'll be convincing, and that it will be convicting. Father, we ask and pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The Apostle John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And then he had a visit and he had a revelation and he wrote the book of Revelation based on what God gave him that day. I want to ask you a question. Thinking back over your life spiritually and over the grace of God for yourself in your mind, I want you to select a time where you were most submitted and committed and in the Spirit. Maybe on the Lord's Day, maybe not. It's a very interesting question, is it not? It's a personal question. Maybe some of you are thinking about a service where heaven came down and glory filled the church. Maybe you're thinking of a time where you were worshiping God with music and somebody was singing. Maybe you were using a device to play music, a tape recorder or a CD player. Maybe speaking to yourself with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Maybe you're thinking of a time where you sacrificed and submitted and gave something to God, and it was like a big break in your life, where it was like you'd been holding back and holding back, and God had been patiently waiting, but he had his hand out the whole time, and he never took the pressure off of you, but he never forced you. And you submitted yourself to God, and you experienced the fullness of the Spirit of God. The comforter, the guide, the helper, the teacher. And you say, he's in me, he lives in me, and I understand, and he's communing with my spirit, and he's fellowshipping with me, and he's letting me know that I am God's child. Maybe it's a time where you're reading a scripture, and God just opened the scripture. It was like a pool that you could swim into, and you kept swimming deeper and deeper into it, and it didn't seem like it ever had a bottom. Maybe it was some long prayed for blessing. Maybe it was a salvation of one of your children or a family member. Maybe it was a revival service where you were drawn a little closer through each message and each night. It seemed like John, and it seems like us. We visit the mountaintop, but we don't always live there. Most of the time, God doesn't have houses up on those mountaintops. He has houses in the valleys for us. I just want you to think about that. Specifically for this reason. I want you to think about the coldest and the deadest and the most unfeeling. And I'm talking spiritually. Time in your life. Oh, Pastor, that's such a contrast. A time maybe where rebellion and anger welled up in your heart. Maybe you was angry at the spiritual leader in your life. Maybe you was angry at God himself. Maybe you just grew apathetic and you became past feeling. Maybe you committed a great sin and you felt like it's over between God and I. Maybe you wandered away in a few areas. You disappointed yourself. And you became discouraged. It's interesting how we place those two thoughts together, isn't it? Let me share with you some scripture. This afternoon we're going to look at the Holy Spirit. As that mighty rushing wind, we think about the day of Pentecost. When we think about that, there's a few other references I want to share with you. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. In John chapter 3 and verse 8, this is Jesus' message with Nicodemus. Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews, came to Jesus by night because he was afraid anybody would know about it. And he told Jesus, we know you come from God. We see the miracles. Nobody can do that unless God's with them. And Jesus said, you must be born again. And Nicodemus said, how can this be? And in verse 8, Jesus said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Sometimes we see great, vast amounts of wind. We see the things the wind moves. We never see the wind. If there's a little dust that's blown up into the wind, we see that dust moving. If there's some leaves that are sucked up and blown along, we see that. We just had experiences last week with my mother-in-law and the tornado that went right around the house. Yes. An amazing amount of wind. She said she heard the freight train. If you heard the freight train, that's a bad sign. And it picked up their house a little and set it down and tweaked everything. Inside their house, there's drywall that's cracked and it's not a great movement. It's just a little tweak. Expressing the power that was there. When we look at the wind, we see unseen power. I've seen the wind blow on a tree until the limb on a tree snapped off. A couple times here, I've heard the snaps of the branches. And I went out and I looked to find where the limb, and out there, dragged it out of the road, pulled it off, a great big giant limb out of the tree. When you see the power of that force. A couple nights ago, when Josh was here, the wind was blowing, and outside on our patio, all that plastic roofing on there started to make a noise and buckling, and I went out there, and there's a piece flapping. I got a couple of boards, and I put up there on top of it to hold it down. But you know, we can get a wind here that'll suck that whole roof off and just keep taking it. My in-laws had a trampoline in their backyard. You know where the trampoline is? No one knows. It sucked it right up. And it's not back 200 yards from their house. It's not back in the backyard or anywhere there. It's gone. The thing went out over a lake, and I said, trampoline's probably in the middle of the lake. Or it might have taken it somewhere else. The unseen power of the wind. And Jesus said, the wind blows where it will, and we can't tell where it came from or where it's going exactly. Now, sometimes we look and we'll say, well, what direction is the wind blowing? Well, you stick up your finger, and whichever side dries first, that's the side the wind's blowing. But it's not necessarily a consistent straight way that it blows. We don't know where that wind, is it coming off the sea? 2 hours from us? Or is it coming out of the desert? 2 hours from us that way. And which direction and where is it coming from and where is it going? Always interested. I haven't done this lately, but watching the weather. And when I lived in Ohio, I'd always see what the weather was in Chicago, because in 2 days we were going to have that weather most of the time. So I always looked at what's going on in Chicago, because that was a general direction of the wind. You know what would happen every once in a while? There would be a wind that would come down. It would start out here over our ocean and would swing up over Alaska, and it would go into the Arctic Circle, and it would suck down through Canada, and it would shoot across us right there, Lake Erie. And if the lake was unfrozen, it would suck up water, and when it came out the other side, 2 feet of snow. It was called the Siberian Express. Come all the way up through and blow across the top of the world, coldest place, and then fire down on us with wind maybe below zero. Now, there was a little gentler wind, and it would just like scoot up into Canada. We called that the Alberta Clipper. And it was usually about 20 degrees. Way warmer than the other. But a fierce, changing wind nevertheless. And go and say, well, Pastor, you got 2 feet of snow. So what? Oh, no, it's not just 2 feet of snow. It's 2 feet of available material. And that wind's going to blow it wherever it wants. And the one place where we had our steps, that hill would go down like this, and it was a hill about this high, come down pretty steep, and all that fill in over like a little mound. And right about here, it'd be 4 feet deep. And you get out there and shovel off them steps and shovel that snow out either side. If you had a piece of road and it was near a long field, the wind would blow across that field. And there's little woods on this side, and it would whoop and dump over the woods. And when it dumped up, all the snow it was carrying would drop on the road. And at one place in 77, we had the White Hurricane. The telephone poles on that road were about right along the ceiling. They weren't super high, but they weren't low either. And the drift reached up and touched those wires on those poles. Just an amazing, powerful wind. I try, as a preacher, and before that, to understand and know God. I talked to Brother Thurman about the meetings he was in where God moved the most. I talked to Pastor Pastor Wright. Same thing. Dr. Wright, tell me about the meetings you was in where the Word and God and His Spirit moved. I've seen times where somebody did something and it stopped the Spirit of God in a service. I've seen times where someone else did something and it gave freedom. It was a giant welcome mat. It was saying, Spirit of God, come here. You're welcome here. You're wanted here. We want to worship you. We want to welcome you. Fall on us. We say, come, Holy Spirit. We're living in a dark time. We need your love and your holy power. Move among us and stir us. We pray. We say, Holy Spirit, will you blow the breath of God on us? Have you thought all these thoughts? Brother Thurman told me he was in a service and God's Spirit fell on the service. It wasn't any particular thing. It was an atmosphere. It was a presence. And everyone was aware of it. I said, the song leader was afraid to do anything to offend God's Spirit. So thick in that service. It said the preacher got up after the song leader and he didn't want to do anything to offend the Holy Spirit of God or to break up the presence of God in that service. And it was time for the preacher, the evangelist, to come and preach. Dr. Wright told me he was in a meeting in Somerset. He said he was preparing to preach, and they had a special congregational hymn. Was. He said that during the congregational hymn, people started coming to the altar. I said before long, a good many people were at the altar. Said he had a message ready, but God had already moved on the people. He said, I knew that I did not have anything to add to that. He got up and he closed the service in prayer. He said, most pastors would not have been able to overcome their desire to preach their message. But he said, I was sensitive to the moving of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I talked this morning a little bit about how that charity isn't puffed up. It doesn't vaunt itself. It's not easily provoked. But those that are close to God are of a meek and a contrite spirit. They have a broken spirit. And sometimes, see, one is an offense toward others. The other is a concern for myself. When I'm being sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God, I'm watching myself. When I'm being sensitive to my rights and to people, what they're doing and thinking and saying about me, I'm angry toward others. It comes out sometimes looking similar, but it's two whole different things. It's two very, very different things, and it goes back to our motive before God. Now, we can judge one another, and we're pretty good experts at that, right? But God asks us to judge ourselves. Now, turn with me in the Bible, thinking about all these things, to Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel might be one of those places in the Bible where you have brand new pages. I We're going to look at this little. There's a lot of interesting things where God gives a object lesson to the preacher there to take back to the people in Ezekiel. But here in 37, we're going to see an interesting lesson, object lesson, in fact. It says in verse 1, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. And it caused me to pass by round about, and behold, there were very many in an open valley, and lo, they were very dry." If you can imagine, one time I was out in the woods, and I came upon the skeleton of a cow. That backbone was there, and the ribs was there, and the skull was there, and the neck bones were there, and the legs, and it had been there a while. And first of all, out comes all the little foxes and the coyotes, and they come and they gnaw and they eat everything they can of that cow. And then here comes the possums and the raccoons, and they gnaw everything out. And pretty soon there's less and less of the cow. And you get down to the bones. And even insects come, ants, and though, and I guess if you leave the right bones on the right anthill, they'll shine and polish them for you by morning. Yeah, it's kind of amazing and scary at the same time, isn't it? But anyways, this beautiful cow skeleton. And if I could have packed that whole thing home, I would have. Because I just love having some bones like that. I usually find a little raccoon skull or a turtle shell. One time I chucked home a whole cow skull, and I had all these different things I found out in the woods. But here, the Spirit of God's taken Ezekiel to this big wide field, and there's all these bones in it. Has anybody ever found bones, or is it just me? Have you ever been out in the woods and found bones, Miss Judy? Be a little scary if you said yes. I found all these bones, this cow, and it was obvious that this cow had been living at one point in time, and all these things that come and gnawed on these bones, they were white, they were dry, and they were clean. Best kind of bones you could find. Who wants stinky bones that still have a little flesh on them? None of that. These were nice, clean bones. And if you can imagine, God's Spirit took Ezekiel out to this field, and there was all these bones, but these weren't just any bones. They weren't cow bones like I found. These were human bones. If you can imagine, sitting out there in those bones, there's two open holes in the skull, and an opening where the nose was, and the jawbone was nowhere to be seen. There was femurs, and there was vertebrae, and there was tibula. There was all these fingers, all these dry bones in this field. Can you imagine? All these dry bones, and it's like a giant ancient battle had went on here, and time and the sun had bleached it, and all these bones are what remained of the battle. And all of these skulls and all of these bodies have a story to tell. All these, maybe it's somebody's father and somebody's grandfather and somebody's brother. Maybe there's people that fought each other and they both died on the same battlefield and they weren't taken care of, they weren't buried. They're just laid out here, a bunch of dry bones. Zane, you thinking somebody ought to do something about all these bones? In verse 3, "And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest." And again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear, hear the word of the Lord. It's true, there's been a time or two when I felt like Ezekiel preaching to just a field of dead bones. I'm looking for one little amen or one sign of life or one interested look. And everyone's like, oh, Pastor, are you almost done yet? All these dry bones laying there. My one friend told me, James, when the Lord comes back, our church is going to be the first one to go to heaven. And I said, Dave, why is that? He said, because the Bible plainly says the dead in Christ shall rise first. And our church is so dead that I'm positive we're going to be the first ones in heaven. Now I ask you, when was the closest you were to Christ and when was the furthest you were away from the Holy Spirit of God and from your submission to Him? And when did you have something in common with these dry bones? And you go, well, I'm not there, and I'm not there. I'm right here in the middle, and I'm so happy and comfortable that I'm not back there, there, and I'm not. It's really a good question, how close you are to being in the valley of dead bones. And it's something only you can answer yourself. He said, prophesy unto these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and I will bring flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. The bones that had been spread out and distributed and had been kicked and knocked and carried by mice and animals and moved from floods and water and rain and weather started coming together. Oh, so what's bringing these bones together? Do you guys know what's bringing these bones together? It wasn't those little birds that made that dress for Cinderella. It wasn't the ants. It was God's Spirit bringing all these bones together. He's already promised to put sinew and flesh back on them and to put breath in them. As I prophesied, behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered above. But there was no breath in them. Amen. This filled this valley of many scattered dry bones. I looked at a picture, and it was a mountain higher than our church. And it was a mountain of buffalo skulls. And it was somewhere here in the west of a slaughter of buffaloes and the skulls taken only and stacked up in a pyramid higher than our church. Let's see this. There's very many bones are scattered in this valley. And the bones have moved together. And there's sinew on them. There's tendons. There's a cartilage. All the things of a body coming back together. Can you see the Lord God forming man out of the dust of the ground? The only thing he created that he got down and touched. And there's that human body with bones and sinew and flesh formed out of the dust of the ground by God, but there's no breath in it, and here's all these bodies, and they come together, and they're laying out there, and there's no breath in them, therefore they are a bunch of dead bodies. Now, would you rather be an old, dry, bone, dead body, or would you rather be a fresh, flesh and blood, dry body, or dead body? I say, Pastor, it really don't matter, because I'm still a dead body. Can you imagine this guy's day with God? The Spirit picks him up, takes him out to this big valley, shows him these bones, makes him to pass all around those bones, and it says, now you're going to get up and you're going to prophesy a little preaching message for these bones. And say, bones are going to come together. And the bones start to come together. And there's going to be sinew, and there's going to be flesh on you. And I'm going to put breath in you. You know, after the bones all came together, and after they had the sinew, and after they had the flesh, I would fully expect to see God put breath in them. Would you not? Let's see. Let's see. In verse 6, shaking came together in verse 8, and when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, and there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy ye, or prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from four winds, O breath, and O breath, oh, breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. I'm not going to lie. I felt like I was preaching to an army of dead bones many times. Dead works, dead interest, the spirit. We talked about Ichabod for just a minute this morning. When the priest Eli was dead, the ark of God was gone, Hophni and Phinehas were slain, and the baby was born, and they called his name Ichabod, the spirit hath departed. We say, oh, breathe on us! Oh, Spirit of God, breathe on us. Breathe into us. Not just a physical life, breathe into us a spiritual life. And if God could cause the bones to come together and the flesh to come upon them and the sinew and then breathe into them with the four winds, he could certainly come upon us in our driest and most difficult and hardest and rebellious and unhappy, unrepentant, unforgiving. He could breathe on us with his Holy Spirit. Bring us to a place. A place of submission. A place of repentance. A place of forgiveness. A place of worship. A place of holiness. A place of righteousness. A place of restoration. Any of us that had walked through that valley and looked at those bones and talked to Ezekiel, and Ezekiel says, getting ready to preach a little message to these bones, and there's going to come together, and there's going to be sinew on them, there's going to be flesh, then there's going to be skin, and then they're going to breathe again. Go. Ezekiel, you got problems, and not the good kind. Just ain't going to happen. We look at ourselves. And sometimes we set little, this will never happen. God's not going to do that for me. I'm not going to come to a place where I achieve this spiritual high ground. I'm not going to that plateau. Probably never see it on this side. In heaven, I'll sing a nobler, sweeter song. But on earth, you know, there's going to be a falling away in the last days, Pastor. In Acts, he says that he'll pour out his flesh on all men. The young men will have visions, and the old men will dream dreams. They'll see the goodness of God poured out. Our sons and our daughters will prophesy. And everyone will look and say, "Behold, the day of the Lord." Anybody ever felt like a dry bone? First thing about these dry bones is they were scattered. There's some dry bones that are scattered. They worship here and they go there and they go here and then they stay home and then they do this and they never have a place that they have given themselves to God into a specific body of Christ. Because they're not in one place, they're not committed. These are the scattered bones. There's some bones that are wishbones, and they'll be in one place, but they come up and they go, "Oh, Pastor, I wish we could do this. I wish we could do that." You know, and they never want to be involved in what they're wishing. They just wish somebody would do it. Somebody else, of course. They're not content. There's some bones that are funny bones. Have you ever knocked your funny bone? You knocked your funny bone, and, you know, right there, and I can touch it. I had a little piece of floating bone in my elbow. And when I knock my funny bone, I usually knock that thing right into it, and it's almost numb and sensitive and hurts all at the same time. Most odd sensation. I'm trying to not hit my funny bone as I get older. Because it feels funny. There's some funny bones. And they're very sensitive. And this ain't right, or that didn't suit them, or they didn't like that, or, you know, that was something I wouldn't have done or said. Their sensitivities keep them from being connected. Always feel a little aloof and a little different. There's some dry bones. I say, "Pastor, we've always done it this way. I couldn't even imagine doing it any different way." The scattered bones aren't committed. The wish bones aren't content. The funny bones aren't connected. And the dry bones, they just never, ever cooperate. They just buckle down and do what's best for the whole body of the church. Then there's some jaw bones. The jaw bone is involved in a couple things. Does anybody know what they are? Talking and eating. The jawbone will do plenty of talking and plenty of eating, but it doesn't do much else for the body. I want to say, "Pastor, where am I at? How committed am I to God's Spirit?" Scattered bones aren't committed. The wishbone isn't content. The funny bone's not connected. The dry bone doesn't cooperate, and the jawbone is not charitable. He only does things for himself. We already looked in Genesis where God breathed into man, he became a living soul. I want to say, you go into the driest spiritual desert of a church that you've ever seen. And you'll have some things in common with them. Now, don't get sensitive. I mean, to yourself. You can be sensitive for the Holy Spirit, what He's doing. Say, "God, what do you have for me about this?" If God can blow across this dry valley full of dead men's bones, and he can animate them and bring them back together. And then he can give them sinew, and then he can give them flesh, and then he can give them skin, and finally he can put breath in them, and they all stand up, and it's a great army. If God did it in this valley outside of Jerusalem, he can do it in Happy Valley outside of Portland. We say, oh God, breathe on us with your spirit. In Job 33:4, the Spirit of God hath made me, the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. Back in Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 1, this is familiar to all of us. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You know, we've talked about the Holy Spirit being the wind. We've talked about the Holy Spirit being rivers of living water. We've talked about the Holy Spirit being the anointing oil of God. We've talked about the Holy Spirit being the seal. We talked about the Holy Spirit being the earnest of our salvation. We talked about him being the comforter. We talked about him being the teacher, the guide. We looked at all these things in the scripture. But we need the unseen power of God in our lives. We need the wind of the Holy Spirit to blow through us. Sometimes wind is pretty devastating. Sometimes it leaves things in a little bit of ruins. Are we willing? And where will you be next? And where are you now? And you think about that time when you was closest to the Holy Spirit and submitted to him. And you think about that time when you was the coldest and numbest. And then you say, where am I at now? Am I over here right on top of being as submitted as I possibly could? Or am I over here in the valley of dry bones? The thing is, he's able to deliver you right where you're at. And he has something better for you. And at your very best, you have not seen it as good as it can be with God. It's a happier place when we submit ourselves, when we give ourselves, when we commit ourselves completely. And while the devil fools us and tricks us, and we legitimately think that we'll give up something if we give ourselves over to God. We'll give up control. We'll give up a position. We'll give up. As for God, his way is perfect, and it's better for you.
You've been listening to a message from the pulpit of Town Center Baptist Church in Happy Valley, Oregon. We invite you to come visit us at 10505 Southeast 85th Avenue in Happy Valley. If we can be of help to you, please call us at 503-659-4494. We wish you God's very best.